Imperial Leader, the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, Home Secretary, and one of the vital leaders of Britain in the years of crisis preceding the Great War, is steadily approaching more exacting, more difficult, and yet more important duties. Though concerned mainly with local and London affairs, his vision is so esteemed by his confreres that he discusses all aspects of the international situation and his views are respected. It is now 1912. The Agadir crisis between Britain and Germany has subsided. But Germany has found that Britain, peaceful, slow-moving Britain, can, when the occasion demands it, bare her teeth and her knuckles in face of threat. 1912, and Winston Churchill visits Germany. Here he meets that strange, warped character.
His Imperial Majesty, the Kaiser. Approach, Mr. Churchill.
Welcome to Germany, Mr. Churchill. I've read and heard so much about you that I've been anxious to meet such a man after my own heart.
You flatter me, sire. I am a politician.
And a soldier, and a man of many parts. A leader, that is it. A leader.
Thank you, sire. I'm looking forward to seeing your German army. This incomparable army of which we've been hearing so much lately.
The army? You shall certainly see it. Oh, a magnificent organization. Unbeatable by any power or combination of powers in the world. On the German Navy, we have progressed far.
I can see already that Germany is a great military power.
Germany must be a military power to survive. Strength alone will keep Germany great and make her greater. Nothing will stay the march forward of the German Empire. Of course, where England is concerned, we shall always be friends.
Where England is concerned, peace is all. That is, sire. Peace with honor. It is the same Germany, Clementine. Pomp and circumstance, the rattle of sabers, the click of heels, salutes, militarism. Yes. There seems no doubt about it. They're preparing for war.
Against whom?
Who knows? France, Russia, Britain, perhaps the world. What did Goethe write about his own people? So much to be admired as individuals, so hopeless as a whole. It's very true.
And what do you plan to do now, Winston? You think any changes are likely in the cabinet?
Secretly, my dear, I emphasize hoping, that I might reach the Admiralty.
You love ships, don't you? And the sea?
I love British ships, my dear. The sight of a dreadnought with a white ensign storming its way through great breakers, storming its way through mist and rain, guns ready for action to defend all that we've built up, all that we hold dear. Yes, Clementine, I love British ships. And never can I fail to experience a thrill, a chill down my spine when I see the majestic might of our navy. Oh, but I rhapsodize again.
Oh, I haven't any doubt at all, Winston, that you'll reach the Admiralty. Anything you set your heart on has come your way.
True. My career, you, our son. I'm a very lucky man. If not the luckiest in the world, I'd be surprised.
Played golf as well as you appear to do everything else, Churchill. Haven't you any limitations?
I let you into a little secret, Mr. Ascot. I do only those things which I know I can do.
That appears to cover almost everything.
Well, thank you.
Would you like to go to the Admiralty?
Indeed, I would.
Good. Haldane is coming to see me tomorrow, and we can talk it over together.
Look, over there.
Two battleships steaming slowly out to sea. What a magnificent sight. And what an inspiration.
Especially for me, after what you just said.
I think McKenna might be more suited to the Home Office. And I believe you are the right man for the Admiralty. Well, we shall see. We shall see. Perhaps you can change over course. Just leave the matter with me.
Well, you've been eating anything else, Mr. Chatfield, haven't you?
No, thanks, Angus. I think I'll turn in.
Well, I'll take on it to you, then.
Oh, just a moment, Angus. Is there anything to read, huh?
There's a wee Bible alongside your bed. That's where I'm not reading the young book.
The Bible? Oh, yes, yes, it's very fine literature. Well, good night, Angus.
Good night, sir.
The Bible. A book to be opened at random. Let me see. Deuteronomy, chapter 9. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, who thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out, and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart. After that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Prophetic. Coincidence? Who can tell? Lord doth drive them out from the temple.
Lord, sister, sir, you come this way, my lord.
Thank you. Hello, Tatio.
How do you do? Sit down, please, Lord Fisher.
Thank you.
I've asked you to come here, Lord Fisher, because I need your help.
I warn you, Churchill, I feel myself bound in loyalty to McKenna.
Why not? McKenna and I are very good friends. There's been no quarrel between us. We merely changed over at the orders of the Prime Minister.
Now then, that's different. What do you want to know?
Everything. I have ideas, but I lack the technical knowledge. I want you to supply that.
I can keep on talking about the Navy till hell freezes over. But I'd like to know what your ideas are first.
Well, I believe there are certain naval questions of prime importance which require new treatment.
Which questions?
First, the war plans of the fleet. The second, the organization of the fleet with a view to increasing their instantly ready strength.
Go on.
Third, measures to guard against all aspects of surprise in the event of sudden attack. Fourth, the formation of a naval war staff. Fifth, the concerting of the war plans of the Navy and the Army by close cooperation between the two departments. Sixth, further developments in design to increase the gunpowder of our new ships in all classes. Seventh, changes in the high commands of the fleet and in the composition of the Board of Admiralty.
Churchill, you've been sent straight from heaven. I've been waiting through all these anxious weeks, waiting for my beloved Navy to be put to the test, to the supreme test. And I was afraid, Churchill. Afraid.
Will you help me?
Do you ask a starving man if he's willing to eat? I'll tell you all I know, Churchill. Go ahead and ask.
Well, now, as to changes in the High Command and in the Admiralty itself,
What about the First Sea Lord?
Sir Arthur Wilson is a fine man who knows the sea. But you won't get any cooperation from him. He's too conservative. He certainly won't agree to the formation of a naval war staff.
Mm. The other Sea Lords?
All the same. Except, perhaps, Reeves. I scrapped a lot.
What do you think of Jellicoe?
No. Good man. One of the best.
Now, as to war plans. They're based at present on the principle of close blockade. Now, I believe...
plans are taking shape. Plans for the defense of an empire and of liberty. Behind the doors of the Admiralty office, Winston Churchill, concerned with the great events soon to take place, is ready and prepared for the danger ahead. Our great adventurer, our imperial leader, is, as always, at his post when the hour strikes.